these movies good?
Worst episode ever.
I see a lot of films. I love all of them.
Your job is to rate movies on a scale from good to excellent.
Hated it.
And now our own movie reviewers join us. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Also, Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the podcast. So, doing for us what Roger Ebert designed decades ago. Your thoughts, guys?
Yeah. We hope so.
We wouldn't be here, I don't think, if it weren't for Siskel and Ebert.
Exactly. I mean, this idea of pairing reviewers comes from Roger Ebert, the idea of this sort of intelligent but yet friendly reviewing that didn't have all the sort of high-powered intellectualism. How does it affect the way you do what you do, Kristen?
Well, Roger Ebert was a huge influence on me. I grew up with him. We watched him every weekend when he was on TV. He always seemed very smart, but very fun to listen to at the same time. Not somebody who's standing up on a pedestal, but actually willing to banter a little bit, bring in some information that you might not know, and not afraid to disagree.
Yeah, not afraid. Disagree, Rafer.
Yeah, I think really what he did more than anything was he turned film criticism into a dialogue and not a lecture. You know, I mean, first he was discussing these things with Siskel. I mean, his writing was very conversational. And then when he lost his voice and he turned to social media, you know, I think he had 31,000 tweets when he died. Yeah. He was relentless, and he brought in all these different readers and people and fans and sort of quote unquote correspondents. And he opened up the dialogue for people.
And he loved the movies.
Timmy, what is it? It's a velociraptor. It's inside.
And that's, of course, from Jurassic Park. And here's Roger Ebert reviewing the original Jurassic Park.
The movie disintegrates basically into a monster picture where the dinosaurs are chasing everybody and the people are running away and there's lots of action and lots of screaming, but there's not really any opportunity to really give these creatures their due. It's almost like the movie doesn't have any respect for the intelligence of the audience, that they might really be interested in dinosaurs instead of just in the action.
Roger Ebert on Jurassic Park. Wonder what he would have made of the release this weekend of Jurassic Park in 3D. Rafer, you saw it.
I saw it. I can tell you he would have hated it because he was an avid 3D hater. He called it a waste of a perfectly good dimension. That was his phrase.
And what did you think?
I actually liked it. I liked the original. I think it holds up. I can take or leave 3D, but it looks pristine. It's great to see it on IMAX as well. I still think it's a great piece of entertainment. It is a monster movie. That's exactly what it is. And I think it works like a charm. It's Spielberg in top form.
My sense is that it would benefit from 3D. It's one of the few movies that absolutely would benefit from 3D. Did you like the original, Kristen?
Oh, I loved the original. I was a huge fan. Who's ever going to forget that little Dixie cup filled with water shaking as a dinosaurs approaching you from behind? And it tells a story in such a visual fashion and gets you so excited about something that could never happen, except maybe it could.
So a redo of an old movie in 3D. We also have a remake of a 30-year-old cult horror classic, Evil Dead.
Mia, put the gun down. Put the gun down, please.
So remind us of the delicate premise of Evil Dead, Rafer, will you?
This is the original Cabin in the Woods movie. Five college kids go to a cabin in the woods. They find a creepy book. They open it up, and it unleashes a demon, and the demon starts picking them off one by one. That was all you needed in the original 1981 movie, which, as you were saying, is a cult classic, homemade, very inventive, lots of ketchup and oatmeal in that movie, worked like a charm. This movie, I feel like they try to elaborate on the script, more backstory. One character is a drug addict. One character lost his mom. There's a lot of pathos and emotion and closure. Who needs it? It's a horror movie.
So better at $375,000 budget in 1981, Kristen?
Well, I have to confess, I've never seen the original Evil Dead, but this one is just a straightforward horror movie. There's a lot of crazy, scary stuff that happens with chainsaws, people throwing up in each other's mouths, dead cats hanging from ceilings. Nobody really explains a lot of what these things are there for. The dead cats in particular, I kept wondering about. But I thought it was a good, just scary movie if you want to scream a lot, if you want to be grossed out a lot. But it's not a comedy, which I understand the original was much more comedic.
You know, Roger Ebert was a real champion of documentary films. He reviewed lots of them over the course of his career in his primetime TV show as well, putting them right up next to movies like Jurassic Park. We do the same today. A new documentary, No Place on Earth. Let's hear a clip.
I used to go with my grandmother to get some drippings. A glass of water was for a family for a day.
I was once so thirsty. I got out of the cave. I said, even if they kill me, I have to go to a well somewhere.
Now, this is a story of the Holocaust that you might not have heard. It's kind of like Anne Frank meets Survivor in a cave, but it's a true story. What did you make of this, Rafer?
I like this movie. It is a fascinating story. It's a group of Jews, families, who hide out in a series of caves during World War II for something like 400 or 500 days, some extraordinary length of time, never going out except to get food, water. You know, they're betrayed by the villagers occasionally. The Nazis come. They fill in the holes. They try to bury them. It's a pretty good story of a pretty extraordinary story of survival. A lot of reenactments in the movie, but I think tastefully done. And I thought it was pretty informative and sensitively done.
Kristen?
Yeah, and John, I think that you were right to bring up Anne Frank because that's the story that, to me, it reminded me most of. We don't hear this story. I've never heard this story before where you have 30 people in a community living together in a cave to escape the Nazis. But I do wish there was a little bit more Anne Frank in the story. We have people looking back on their experience, but I sometimes got confused about which person was which character, and I wanted a little bit more humanness in it. But that being said, I still think it's totally worth seeing. It's unlike any other Holocaust movie I've seen.
All right. You know, I suggested at the top of the hour that in some ways Roger Ebert, who we've been thinking about this hour, really eliminated this divide between indie movies and big Hollywood blockbusters in terms of their availability to all sort of moviegoers. Do you think he helped create the indie industry, Rafer?
Yeah, I think in some ways he did. You know, he was one of the first people. I mean, he had such a great he had no preconceived notions. One thing I remember is Last House on the Left, the old Wes Craven movie, just a ghastly,
remember,
horrible.
It's only a movie.
Yes,
it's only a movie,
just yeah. A horrifying exploitation film. Roger Ebert championed that as a masterpiece, and that movie has gone down as such. And I think he did that for a lot of movies. You know, he helped My Dinner with Andre get its start.
Last thought?
He could make or break any movie just with his thumb.
and did many, as do you. Kristen Meinzer, Kristen Kulcher, producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Also, Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Thanks so much.
Thanks John.